Hello and welcome to a live edition of the Beyond the Pod podcast. I'm Brandon Molesky from The Fan, Pat Micheletti, former Golden Gopher great, also my my co-host on Wild Fan Line, whenever that starts up again, is with me, and we're talking hockey here.
Yeah.
And it's all brought to you by sodastick.com and Culturama, and because this is a live podcast, we would love to get your messages. So if you're on Facebook or Twitter, even through YouTube, send us a question, send us a comment, and we'll be able to see it in the chat and hopefully respond to some of those. But Pat, we do have some actual hockey to discuss now, and it's looking pretty good for the Golden Gopher hockey team. I just looked at the pairwise rankings tonight. Number one in the pairwise rankings,
yeah.
The Minnesota Golden Gophers after their 4-0 start. And not only is it four wins, Pat, it's wins against, series sweeps against teams that at least preseason wise were considered to be top 10 teams, and we know how the rankings can go.
Right.
But
right.
Quality opponents. And I thought in all four games, at least from what I saw, they seem to be in control of all four games.
Why? Where do I start? They've given up four goals in four games, so they're getting great goaltending from Jack LaFontaine, a senior transfer from Michigan, went back to juniors, came back to and then enrolled in Minnesota. I'll start there. He's been great. Their defense, Brandon, is I have not, and I've commented this the last 4 or 5 days, I haven't seen four guys that play like Mike Riley and Nate Schmidt. Guys that can just get up the ice, skate, handle the puck, it control the game. It was just a clinic that Ryan Johnson, Jackson Lacombe, Mikey Kester, and who am I missing? Brock Faber, who might end up being the best of all of them as a freshman. Those four, and I don't want to take anything away from Stoddicker and Brinkman, but those four defensemen are just it's just so much fun to watch.
Well, definitely back in your day, Pat, and even in my day, when you would watch a hockey game, you could tell the difference between defensemen and forwards, right?
No doubt.
And now you watch a Gopher hockey game, and the defensemen skate like the forwards. they're all the same size. They have the same agility. Now, clearly, a defenseman, skating backwards is a little bit different. But if you just put all five guys doing drills, you'd never know which one's defenseman, which ones are forwards.
No, you wouldn't. And that was so evident in the games, the first four games of the year. You would see defensemen behind the net and then be able to get back and cover their position just like nothing. The one thing I really enjoyed about the Gopher game, the team and the way that they're playing is that they all seemed in sync. They all seemed like they knew what they were doing, and they covered for one another. And it was four lines, and I don't want to get ahead of myself here and crown them the national championship because they have room to improve. There's things they have to work on. There's still guys up front that you want to see score consistently, and I'll take their D. I mean, three of the D that I talked about, Lacombe, Johnson, and Faber, all have a really good chance of being on the U.S. Junior National Team. Now, we haven't seen anything like that since UMD had sent three of their defensemen to that U.S. Junior National Team. Interestingly enough, coached by Bob Motzko.
Yeah. And as you mentioned earlier in the podcast here, that all four defensemen are mobile. They can skate. They can jump up in the play. And that it's really something the Gophers have hung their hat on in this program, at least through my lifetime of the Jordan Leopolds and the Paul Martins
and the
Keith Ballards and the Nate Schmidts and the Mike Riley, and since Riley and Schmidt, they kind of really haven't had that guy, and we have some young guys here now, so we need to wait more than four games. But what's impressed me most is a guy like Brock Faber. I saw game one, he looked like he had played 35 college hockey games before.
Right, exactly.
I mean, just from a confidence standpoint, a poise standpoint, and he can move, he can jump up in the play. We saw him score the goal the following night on that diagonal pass. but they've been kind of lacking. And I don't want, you're right. I don't want to crown these guys four games into their college career. No. But they finally have that element, which has always been a staple of Gopher hockey, I believe.
Well, I'm going to give people something to watch as the season goes along. I talked to an NHL scout after, I don't know, the second period of a Penn State game. And I said, well, you know, what do you think of Johnson, you know? And his comment to me was, if I could compare him to anyone, I would compare him to a Jonas Brodin and how good his feet are. Yeah. And if you watch Ryan Johnson skate and turn and recover, it's unbelievable how great a feat he has. And, you know, that's why he's in the pick of the Buffalo Sabres a year ago. But yeah, you know, you talk about Faber, and he's such a mature kid, you know, for his age. And I read something, his assistant coach from the National Junior Development Program last year said, this kid is by far the best defender in the world for his age. And, you know, we haven't even tapped his offensive ability yet. And we saw obviously what he did the other night, scoring a goal. So, you know, I know Bob is really, really happy with the start that his team has.
All right. We got a couple questions and a couple comments, and I wanted to move back to the goaltender because we haven't talked about him enough here. Jay Connor says, LaFontaine looks so comfortable in net, never out of position. Control side to side is thumbs up. Your thoughts? And, you know, four goals in four games. And, you know, in two of those games, he wasn't tested a whole lot. But even in the second Ohio State game, he wasn't tested a lot. But at an important stretch where all of a sudden they got a breakaway coming down on him with a chance to tie the game, he made the stop. And on the other side, as good as that Ohio State goalie looked in the second game of that series, he was, I thought, phenomenal and kept that team in it. That first goal, I thought, was a little soft on the one from Reedy, and they kind of climbed right through him. So LaFontaine's not giving up those goals. He's not giving up any soft goals. And as you mentioned, the defense is strong in front of him and not giving up a ton of chances, but they got that backbone at all times.
Right. And you know, a big key for him, I mean, he got in better shape coming into this season. And, you know, he knew he was going to be the number one guy. But he also knew that, you know, Bob would play other goaltenders. And right now, and we asked Bob, you know, were you thinking about going with Mo or Close or, you know, one of the other guys? And he thought about it, and he thought, you know what? Wisconsin's riding their number one. Michigan's riding their number one. There's no reason that Jack can't, you know, continue on for us. And you know, he's been great. And, you know, but it really helps him a lot by the way that they're defending and how quickly they get the puck out of their zone. Puck's not in your zone. You're not going to be tested all that much. Now, in the game on the other night, in the 2-0 win, you know, it got tight, and he had to come up with some big saves. And Ohio State did put on a little push, but you know what? He was really good, and he's a senior, and you know you need that senior leadership.
Okay, I want you to answer this question without answering the goalie. So you got to go besides that LaFontaine. Add Leslie 20 says most impressive player for the Gophers so far. What's great so far is they have great depth.
Yeah,
and you have lots of options to choose here.
Yeah, I talked about their D, so I'll leave their D out of this. But to me, their best forward has been Scott Reedy by far. He's absolutely been a horse. Just, you know, he gets in front of the net. I think he's got two goals, maybe three, and one was in, he had one disallowed at the end of the game against Ohio State. But he's been really, really good. And, you know, I'm glad he came back for his senior year because, you know, he's a senior now. He can help with the younger players. He's been a great leader. You know, and I know the San Jose Sharks wanted to sign him. And, you know, I'm glad he decided to come back because, you know, he's been really, really good in my opinion.
Brenge01 says, I love Sampo Ranta's physical play. He is a beast that can skate. I don't think you could not notice his skating ability, Pat. Oh. On a team that has lots of speed, his stands out even more. The goal he scored, I mean, you don't see many forwards just flat out just skate around defensemen like that.
It was like a toothpick that he went around. And, you know, the thing with Sampo, he's got incredible amount of talent. What he's got to get better at is, you know, he does a lot of circling in the corner. and he takes himself out of the play. I mean, he's got to get to that middle area because, you know, I don't know if anyone shoots a puck as well as he does in all of college hockey. And with that power and with that speed and when he gets going, you know, he's just got to learn the North American game a little bit more. And, you know, he's going to be a good pro. He'll play in the National Hockey League for sure.
Sven0723 asks, other than COVID, what will be the biggest challenge for the Gophers this season?
Well, you know, let's hope the season continues on. You know, as our good friend and colleague Justin Gard says, every game that we play is a gift. And you know, there, you know, hockey's no different right now, because, you know, a lot of teams are going out. That being said, you know, I think it's just consistency and believing and, you know, guys taking that next step, because, you know, let's face it, guys like Sammy Walker, McManus, you know, those and Ben Myers, those are the guys that really have to elevate their point production. So they have to stay consistent scoring wise. And, you know, I think they'll be fine.
I would say maybe one thing I'm curious about, and we'll see it when they move out to Michigan State and Michigan here in a week and a half, is they just played four games on a huge sheet of ice. You got a bunch of team speed, lots of space to work with. How does that translate when you get into a smaller sheet? Maybe team tries to get more physical with you. You know, I think because of their goalie, because of their skating ability, their defensemen, because of their depth, I think their game is going to be able to translate to wherever they play. But that being said, you never really know until you get down to that smaller sheet.
No, you don't. I mean, and it certainly will be an adjustment, but you know, they have a lot of skill, and you know, and things happen a lot quicker. And skilled players have a tendency to react better in those situations. They don't have to think as much. You know, they get it on their stick, and bam, you're either going to shoot it or make a play, and you know, so it could help them. We're going to have to wait and see. Michigan is a team that is loaded. They're going to be awfully good. That it's going to be a great series when that occurs.
You are watching and listening to a live version of Beyond the Pod. It's brought to you by one of our sponsors, which would be SodaSick.com. Make sure you go to SodaSick.com. You can get your original Minnesota sports-inspired goods, and they just launched their Michelob Golden Light for Michelob Golden Light Hunting Club merch line. The logo features blaze orange shirts. Excuse me. The logo features a bottle of Michelob Golden Light with deer antlers. They've got it on blaze orange shirts, hoodies, hats, and more. So make sure you get geared up for your hunting season. If you haven't seen it yet, you got to check it out. And now we're going to hook you up with free shipping on your order. Just use the code KFAN for free shipping. That is SodaStick.com. Original Minnesota sports-inspired goods. Use the code KFAN for free shipping. Let's go back to the chat because I wanted to move on to the NCHC. And, of course, I've just temporarily lost my chat. So we'll, one of the questions was about the NCHC was, the bubble that's coming up here, Pat, it's going to start next week because the NCHC hasn't started. And it begins Tuesday, December 1st.
Right.
What I love the most about it, Pat, is you're basically going to have an NCHC game every day from December 1st to December 20th. I think there might be one day off where there's a break, but there's somebody in the NCHC is going to be playing hockey for about 20 straight days.
Yeah, it you know, I'm crossing my fingers. I think the bubble is the way to go. Let's hope that they can pull this thing off. We have to remember it's not the National Hockey League type of investment that was put into something like this simply because they don't have the money. But I think they've done a great job in their preparation. Josh Fenton and their staff and all of the schools. Unfortunately, as of this morning, Colorado College is not going to be part of the pod due to a COVID outbreak.
Really?
Yeah. So they have been, and actually, Brandon, if I get my dates right, I think they get off of quarantine the day before their first game. Jeez. Now, they will obviously have to stay in Colorado. Now, and what the NCHC is demanding or mandating of each team is that once you get to Omaha, you have to quarantine for 7 days. And so all the teams are there probably tomorrow. And you know, they'll probably have to make some adjustments. There's probably things that are going to happen, but you're right. It'll be an interesting way to each team's going to play 10 games. There's going to be a total of 40 games. That may lessen with Colorado College not in the mix, but there's going to be a lot of hockey and teams are going to be playing every other day, and it'll be fun.
And we already had some issues in the WCHA as well. Mankato State and Bemidji. Mankato State won the first game 5-0, then the second game postponed due to COVID. And as you mentioned, the whole point of putting this bubble together for the NCHC was to avoid all of this COVID stuff, just because it worked in the NHL playoffs and it worked in the NBA playoffs, and even the small amount of time for the Major League Baseball playoffs. And it has to be disappointing for that conference to set all that up. To make sure they can play their games, only to have one team struggle with it before they get there.
Yeah, and we've seen Northern Michigan now is out. They've canceled their first six games of the year. I read somewhere, Brandon, where 90% of the games in Hockey East have been canceled through December, and so we're in a tough spot right now for everybody, and hopefully we're going to get through this thing and be able to maintain it. Everyone's got to be careful. I know the Gophers are being extremely careful. We can't, just to give you an example, I worked the games four games, and I get to the game, I get my temperature checked, I fill out a form, and I go right to the press box, and I'm with Wally and Frank, and there's plexiglass between us, and we're 15 feet apart, and then after the game we go back to our car and leave. That's the only interaction that we have, other than on headphones with the coach. They're being very careful and rightly so. A little weird without fans in the building, but you got to do what you got to do if you want to get these games in.
All right, prediction time, Pat. At least you've seen a couple series from some of these teams in the country. Adam Schmidt wants to know, what's your thoughts on who will be in the Frozen Four?
Frozen Four. Well, I'm going to go two
make that prediction.
I'm going to go two Big Ten teams in Minnesota, and I'm going to go Michigan. And I'm going to go from the NCHC, I'm going to go Denver. And I'm going to take a team out east, and that would be Boston College. If those four are in there, it would be a fantastic Frozen Four.
I haven't seen Michigan play yet. I know they have just extremely talented young players there. The guys, they're supposed to have three guys that are going to be in the top six of the draft next year.
Yeah, one might go number one.
So have you seen them play at all?
I just have seen highlights of them. I haven't seen much more than that. But from what I saw, loaded and fast, and they've got a very, very good goaltender coming back. So, and that's kind of been their Achilles heel. They've had a penchant to give up a lot of goals. I think that series is going to be terrific.
All right. G Miller 9909 wants to know, most surprising player so far.
Most surprising player thus far has probably been, he's been on the fourth line, and he'll probably be there all year, but he might end up being there one of their most important players, and that's Jackson Nelson, the kid, the high school phenom
from Laverne,
out of Laverne.
Yeah,
and he plays on their fourth line, and he's big and he's strong as an ox, like Ranta, and he can skate like Ranta, and what he gives them is, he's one of their top penalty killers, and he can. I think the fourth line had two goals in the four games that they had, and it's early in the year. And I just think that when you look at a fourth line and you see him as your center, you're in pretty good shape.
All right, we got a special guest coming up for you, Pat, a surprise guest. But first, why don't you tell us about one of our sponsors on Beyond the Pod, and that would be Culturama.
I will. Brandon, have you ever been told your hockey-playing child has what it takes to be the next big superstar, or does he or she stand out, but you are unclear how to obtain player exposure to meet that goal? At Culturama, they cultivate, collaborate, and connect you with opportunities to advance your child's athletic career. They offer free firsthand knowledge on how to become your child's momager or dadager. Or for those who are looking for specialized services, Culturama is here to help. They will personalize a strategic plan, develop PR and media kits, build and or manage your child's brand. Follow, like, and subscribe to Culturama today to learn how to get started.
All right, Pat, time for our surprise special guest. You are not even aware that we are going to have a guest tonight.
I was not.
So it's time for you to make a guess. I'm going to give you a clue. Minnesota Wild.
Okay. Player, manager.
That's my first clue. Guess.
Jared Spurgeon.
Deep voice.
Deep voice. Oh, boy. Deep voice. Kevin Faulness
is the correct answer. Get good buddy, here. Kevin
Faulness. All this gopher talk and not one mention of Johnny Sorensen? You bring up the fourth line kid out of Laverne, but nothing for Johnny Sorensen?
You know what? He's
been, come on, Pat.
He has been terrific. In fact, he scored the first goal of the year.
Yeah, I know.
And I tell you what, you know, he's not big. He's a great kid, by the way.
I know he is. And, I heard.
And, you know, played up in Alaska in the North American Hockey League. And yeah. I remember Bob telling me, he said, not a lot of people know about this kid.
Yeah.
Watch out. You watch out. And I tell you what, he's been great. And he's one of those guys, Kevin, who will be at Minnesota for 4 years. No doubt about it.
Let me ask you this. I'm not trying to derail your little conversation here, and I'll go wherever you want to lead me. But you guys are talking Gophers. You played Penn State and Ohio State so far.
Yeah.
Not upper echelon squads, probably, typically. Are the Gophers that good, or are these teams not that great?
Well, Penn State had a chance to win the national championship a year ago.
Now, they didn't look good this weekend, two weekends ago, whatever.
Granted, they lost a lot. In fact, they lost 69 goals off of last year's team. Different team. Yeah. But that being said, hey, you know, you got to play them. You got to beat them. They did.
And they did.
Ohio State was also an NCAA team. And in fact, 2 years ago, they were in the Frozen Four. Steve Rolick does a really good job with them. They lost a lot, but they do have the best goalie in the country in Tommy Napier. You guys saw him. He's a free agent, by the way, which shocked me that he is. But hey, you know what? There's parity in college hockey. Anybody can beat anybody anytime. It's just who's going to be good at the end.
The Gophers are that good, is what you're saying.
I like them. I like them. Yeah. And you know what? As I told Brandon, their defense are as good as I've seen in probably 8 years.
Yep. Already got some comments with Kevin Faulness on. We had that's a lot of G's says better not be Faulness.
not only hearing from that guy. Thanks.
Derek Felska says Johnny Scorinson.
Amen, baby. Yeah.
Yep. But Kevin, we had you on to talk a little bit of Wild. I'm going to ask some questions to both of you, and let's get your opinion on the Minnesota Wild and the professional hockey if we ever have a season. Mm-hmm. And I am completely a thief on this one. I'm just stealing questions from the Michael Russo Athletic Minnesota Wild survey. And I'm just going to ask some of the questions to you guys.
Okay.
They asked, what departing player will you miss most? Devin Dubnyk, Ryan Donato, Alex Galchenyuk, Eric Staal, Luke Kunin, or Mikko Koivu. Kevin, you have the floor.
You know, from the heartstrings, it's got to be Mikko Koivu and everything he does for you. From a practical today, here, and now standpoint, it might still be Mikko Koivu, but the Eric Staal factor, I think, is huge. That's a big bucket to try to fill, but it's still... Pat, I don't know about you. I waffle between Koivu and Staal. The stuff that Koivu does for this team probably flies a little bit under the radar for the casual fan. He does a lot of stuff that it isn't going to be easy to fill. But I love the passion and the aggression and everything that Eric Staal does for this team too.
I'm going to start by saying they're all really good guys. Okay, and
before Mikko, I rip them,
Mikko and before I rip them, no, Mikko and Staal have had great careers.
Yes,
but this team needed to go in a different direction, and. You know, and they've been stuck where they've been, and they needed to get younger. They needed to get faster, and they needed to get more skill. And I think they're on their way to doing that. The guy I'm going to miss, because I don't know what he is Ryan Donato.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you that. And only because he scored 14 goals and he scored 14 even strength goals. Okay. Now, did he score those goals because he played less and he didn't have to be that every third shift guy? Could he have held up? Could he have helped out more on the power play? I don't know. He's talented, and he loves to win. So
it's funny what he did with the limited amount of time that he got, yeah, right? It's crazy.
I'm intrigued to see what happens with him in San Jose. Good for him.
You know, Pat, you could look on paper at the Eric Staal trade for Marcus Johansson and say, well, Staal's had not only a more productive career, but even in more recent years has put up better numbers.
Yeah.
But I think you hit the nail on the head in terms of style of play. This team, I like Eric Staal, great guy, had some great years, had a 40-goal season. Clearly, Mikko Koivu is, you know, one of the most accomplished players in Minnesota Wild history. But at those two, at their stages of their career, at their ages, I do feel like at the center position kind of slow others down a little bit. And when you have a guy like Kevin Fiala, and that's a horse you're going to want to ride and go to superstardom, you need a center that's going to be able to go with them. And I feel like sometimes having those slower centers like an Eric Staal with them isn't the best for him. I'm curious to see, you know, not that Johansson is going to be a true number one center, and who knows?
He's going to end up on left wing, but
yeah. Who knows the future of a Marco Rossi? And you know, and even when he is good, how long that's going to be until he becomes good? But I think it was time to get someone who could skate a little bit with a Fiala and hopefully a Kaprizov.
I think what sold Bill Guerin on doing what he had to do was the Vancouver series. Because when you look at Vancouver and you look at the speed that they had up front and their top six guys, and it was evident as the series wore along that, you know, they were a tough team to stop and to play with. And you know, when you just have a Kevin Fiala as your speed guy, and really that was about it per se. I think he knew right there that, you know what, I gotta make some changes.
All right.
But the question was, who are you going to miss the most? And to me, again, I love what Eric Staal did for this team. I also like what Mikko Koivu did, even up to the last minute, what he provided in the last minute of a game, all the other stuff that he did. That's going to be hard to replace. And Ryan Donato, God love him, couldn't fill the skates of a Mikko Koivu even today.
Let's go to the next question. Kevin, you can answer first. Which returning player do you expect to take the biggest step forward? Matt Dumba, Joel Eriksson-Ek, Jordan Greenway, Victor Rask. I think Russo had to have laughed at himself when he wrote that one down. And Matt Zuccarello.
Yeah, I want to say Matt Dumba, assuming that he's on the roster once the dust clears. He's got everything to prove. You know, he had not a great year last year. It kind of ramped up as the season went along. But obviously, you know, he never really fully recovered, I don't think, from that Matthew Tkachuk injury that he suffered now, I guess, a year ago, December, whatever it was, maybe even 2 years ago, December. To me, that's the guy that's got the most to prove, and he's got the most to gain by having a great year. All the rest of them, Joel Eriksson-Ek, I mean, what's the ceiling on this guy? I don't think that's a shot at him. He's a guy that could be the next Mikko Koivu and supply some of those different roles that Mikko used to do. But Matt Dumba is a game changer. When he's on his game, we saw it. Up until that injury going up against Tkachuk and the Flames, he's a difference maker. And you get him back on track, he's going to be, you know, a huge part of this team, assuming that he's still on it.
Can you repeat the first part of the question?
Which returning player do you expect to take the biggest step forward? Matt Dumba, Joel Eriksson-Ek, Jordan Greenway, Rask, Zuccarello.
I'm gonna add a question to that.
That's not how this works.
Of course you are.
Yeah, of course I am. The first one would be Matt Dumba, no doubt, because I've read stuff and, you know, talked to people, and he's not moved yet. Will he be moved? I'm gonna assume that he's gonna be part of this team, and if he is, I think he will have a tremendous year. I think he'll get close to 25 goals.
Wow.
I think it took some time for him to come back. The team wasn't great when he did come back, and you know, he wasn't there yet, but I think he will be there yet. And I think, you know, I think he has that in him. to be like, I'm going to show somebody who I really am. So I'll say him. Now, the guy that has to, the guy who hasn't, the guy who I thought was going to get dealt, the guy.
Can I guess?
And the guy who probably didn't obvious. Get dealt because he's 6'11".
He's such a monster.
And you're like, how can we get rid of him? But when is he going to do it consistently? Is Jordan Greenway. Yeah. And I was very disappointed in the playoffs because he was a key factor for me, for them beating Vancouver. He should have owned the bat behind the net and in front of the net and created more space for Staal and Fiala. And they had to end up taking him off of that line. And you know what? You know, you get to a point where, and you can say this, he's young, we got to wait, you know, but it gets to a point where, okay, how long are we going to wait? You know, you played over that allotted game point, you know, 80 some games or 100 games. You know the league, there's nothing else to learn. Let's go. And so, that's my thoughts on.
Well, I think it's funny you brought up Jordan Greenway's name, Pat, because I figured most people would probably say Dumba or Zuccarello based off of what we've seen from him in the past. But in terms of the guy from the level they're at to where they could go, Greenway has the opportunity to make the biggest jump out of the entire.
No doubt. Yeah.
And, you know, allegedly Bill Guerin had the conversation with him. You know, I think it's kind of a pivotal year for him. Hey, he's going to be a guy that's going to be in the league just based off of his size, and he skates well. I'm like, he'll have a job. But in terms of stepping up and having a bigger role and producing more than what he's done up to this point, Jordan Greenway is the correct answer. Victor Rask should not even be on the list, by the way. He should still be in the press box for most of next season. Question number three. We'll start with you here, Pat. What transaction did you like the most? Nick Bjugstad pickup, Nick Bonino and two draft picks, including a second for Luke Kunin and a pick, Jonas Brodin 7-year extension, Devin Dubnyk for a draft pick, Marcus Johansson for Eric Staal trade, Carson Soucy re-signing, or Cam Talbot signing. It's a lot of options.
It is a lot of options.
Bjugstad, Bonino trade, Brodin extension, Dubnyk trade, Staal trade for Johansson, Soucy signing, Talbot signing.
Well, I'm going to go with Bonino, and I'll tell you why.
You're nailing it today, Pat.
He's a veteran who can skate. And he plays his heart out, and people will see that. He's a good team guy. He's played in big games, and I think he'll solidify that third line center. And you know, he'll kill penalties. He's flexible. He can play anywhere. He can play wing. He can play center. And so it's not the you know, the sexiest move that they made. It's not, he's not going to be a big point producer, but I think he'll add something that they need.
Kevin?
Yeah, I'll go along those same lines. My pick isn't splashy. This guy isn't going to get a ton of points, but to me, Jonas Brodin does a lot of things for this team, namely solidifies your top four. Yeah. To get him under contract and know that he's not going anywhere. And God love all the other guys that are on this roster, including Matt Dumba, and I hope he's here for a long, long time. But I like knowing that Jonas Brodin is locked up for the foreseeable future. He's one of the most fun guys to watch on this team, and it's not because of what he does with the puck, but it's the way he skates, the way he moves. Yeah. I like the Bonino move. I like the fact that they've got a goaltender in here that you want to hang your hat on in Talbot, but I'm going to go with locking up Jonas Brodin.
Pat and I are on the same page on this one. I would go with the Nick Bonino trade as well. And my rationale is Luke Kunin's a quality hockey player.
Yep.
Another guy who's going to be in this league for a long time. He's going to be on a third line somewhere for the next 8 to 10 years. But I also don't know if there's much more of a ceiling than what he is now. And while there might be others in the league that still, because of his age, might look at him, hey, we might be able to get more out of this guy than what he's shown us. So because to me, I think you're kind of selling while you can, getting out while you can on Kunin. At the same time, you're bringing in Bonino, who's got a one-year deal at a position they need. So I'd prefer to have the center than the wing. Yep. Two, if Bonino's not great, guess what? We clear the salary, and that's money you can use in free agency or via trade at some point in the future. And the third part of this is they got a second round pick, a high second round pick. That kid from Russia, who I'm not going to try to pronounce his name, the Merit Kustantinov or whatever, who's already
good luck with that one, Kevin.
Who's already playing some minutes in the KHL, which is impressive at that age. To me, when you put all that together, I thought that was a very savvy trade by Bill Guerin. All right, what are your guys' comments on when the season's going to start? What type of season we're going to have? I've even seen rumors lately, and sometimes you don't know if it's just smokescreen because maybe the NHLPA is trying to send message to the owners, and the owners are trying to send messages. But I've even seen rumors, like a Craig Button thinks it's possible there's no season at all, just based off of the NHL owners are dependent on players showing up in the stands. And I'm sorry, Kevin, because I know you're an employee for the Minnesota Wild, and that would hurt you mightily. Is there a chance we don't have a season? Do you think it's going to be a 70-game season, 40-game season? What's going to happen here?
You want to go or you want me to go first?
Well, I'll just say this. I don't have any inside knowledge. I'm just telling you my gut feel here in reading the tea leaves. Everyone's talking about a January 1st start. To me, there's no way that happens. It's Thanksgiving now. It's practically December 1st. To get going, you'd have to be on the ice in 2 weeks. To me, that seems far-fetched at best. So let's say best-case scenario, February 1st, and get a 60-game schedule. I think that's more likely, but then again, you got to get the NHLPA and the NHL on the same wavelength, and they've got to get this thing figured out. I don't know what it takes, but, I mean, both sides are going to have to give. They're going to have to figure out a way to meet in the middle, and I know that's not easy, and I know we're talking about millions, if not billions of dollars, but figure it out. Honest to God, you got to do something. They've done it in every other sport. They're doing it in freaking college football, and I know that things are falling apart there, but you got to get it done. And whatever it takes, let's get on the ice and play some hockey. Seriously. You did it this summer. Come on.
I don't think that they're going to start January 1st either.
No chance.
But I do think they will start by mid-January, and I do think that they will start in a bubble. I think they'll in different bubbles. You know,
how many bubbles? Like a Canadian bubble and an American bubble?
California bubble?
I haven't sat down and figured out, you know, I would probably say, you know, 4 to 5, 6 bubbles, whatever. And teams rotate in and out of those. And
it's not a bubble.
You play your pod group, you know, the number of times, and then you move. I think
you stay in a bubble for like 2 weeks and then go home. And,
Okay.
I think they're going to do that because, I think they're going to try to mitigate the amount of travel that these teams have, have. I know they're pie in the sky if the vaccine comes out and they get, you know, they get that to the millions of people that they think that they can have fans. That's what Gary Bettman is hoping.
Well, that's the only way. That's the only game changer, right? You have to have a vaccine to get to where we want to ultimately be.
Exactly. I've also heard that there are multiple teams that players have gotten the virus. So, you know, so that kind of puts a little, you know, step back, you take a step back and, you know, you delay things a little bit more. So I don't know. Let's hope by mid-January.
Well, at the very least, I don't want a season that goes into August and September again.
I'd
rather just make sure you end it so we can have a normal season the following season. Hopefully everything's vaccine-wise is good by then and we're good to go full steam. Let's talk about the possible realignment, though, because obviously doesn't sound like Canadian teams are going to be going across the border anytime soon. So they're going to have to put all the Canadian teams in a division, which means the Wild potentially, I guess St. Louis Blues would be in competition with them. Could be moving out west to be in the same division. And this is a question that's a lot of G's wanted to talk about. He says, why does the NHL hate us so much, putting us in the West Coast division? Just terrible for our fans. But, Pat, we'll start with you. I want you to analyze the division if they go to the West, where they would have the Kings, Ducks, Sharks, Golden Knights, Coyotes, Colorado Avalanche, and Dallas Stars. If that were the division the Minnesota Wild were in, which actually I think is probably a downgrade for them in terms of, or an upgrade in terms of, you know, the schedule you would get other than having to go out to the West Coast all the time.
Yeah, you know, and that would mean less fan lines, and that would not be good for you and I.
Kevin will stay up and do it.
Yeah.
To myself.
You know, when you think about it, you know, who are the tough teams in you know, that we're talking about? Vegas, Dallas, Colorado, right?
Yep,
Colorado, yeah.
And the rest, you can easily compete with or beat. And yep. And not saying that you can't compete with the other teams that are there. They've beaten those teams. So I from a divisional standpoint, bring it on. But you know, the travel is going to be tough. It's going to be tough for those guys. It, you know, instead of just taking a quick flight to St. Louis or, you know, wherever else, Nashville or Winnipeg, and you know, it's going to be a little bit more. It's going to be a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, but let's be honest. I mean, if everything was equal, we'd be in the Central Division and it'd be awesome, and we'd go through our daily lives like nothing ever changed. These are weird circumstances, and you got to bite the bullet, and it sucks. And we're going to have to play out west, and we're going to play at 9:30 at night, and it's going to be the Northwest Division reincarnated. Yeah. Tough hop, you know, said the one-footed rabbit. You got to deal with stuff like that to get through this pandemic. If that's the price you pay to play hockey, I'm for it.
No one will care.
No, you know, I don't care. If it gets them on the ice and they can get through it, put me in Vancouver 6 of the next 12 months. I don't care.
Well, and you know, regarding the realignment, there's also thought, because of not knowing when Canada is going to be able to move down, that they might also just run the playoffs through your divisions, at least for the first two rounds, like the old days back in your North Stars days, Pat. Yeah. And if you look at it, you know, the Wild should be better than LA, San Jose, Anaheim. Probably should be worse than Vegas, Colorado, and Dallas. So really, you're fighting for Arizona, which, yeah, they had a great season, but I'm not going to act like I'm going to crown them as a playoff team for next year.
No.
You know, the Wild, I know technically they're a playoff team last year because of the way it ended up working out with the 12 teams in, but they should have a pretty decent shot to at least be a playoff team.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think Bill Guerin's done. I think he's got one more move in him.
What are you thinking?
I don't know what it is, but I still...
Kevin Faulness of the Anaheim Radio Network?
Whoa, wait a second.
Listen, people freaked out when they traded Staal for Johansson, and they claimed Johansson is a centerman. And he can play center, and he has played center. But in the, you know, way in the back of my brain, I'm thinking Billy Guerin is saying, okay, let him talk like that. I'm still, if there is a guy there that can fill a void and be a centerman, I can move Johansson to wing. And, you know, so I do believe that there, and there's still room for Marco Rossi. But I do believe that, that he's still, if it's there, because he's not going to just trade. We know that, or else he would have traded Dumba a long time ago. But I think he'll make another deal.
I don't know. I'll tell you what excites me most about it. I mean, I don't care what division they play at. I don't care what time they play. I don't care who they play. I don't care if they play every other day and that's the way it is for the next 8 months. I don't care about that. What excites me about the possibility of getting out there this season is finally getting to see Kaprizov. This is something we've been talking about for so long. Yeah. Finally get to see him in a Wild uniform. We even talked about it this summer, about possibly seeing him on the ice in that training camp going into the
Kevin, don't talk so highly of the kid, because now, you know.
Well, what do you mean? I haven't seen him yet. I'm excited to see him on the ice. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, I'm not saying that he's going to resurrect the Minnesota Wild and we're going to become the next Colorado Avalanche. That's not what I'm saying. I'm excited to see him with my own two eyes. I've only seen him on YouTube. I want to see him with my own two eyes, with my glasses on.
Thank you.
That's what excites me. And also the possibility of seeing Marco Rossi in a Wild uniform.
Pat, we're
very excited about that.
We've waited a long time for potential star power to emerge.
I know. Doesn't
mean he's going to be a star.
Don't dump water on our fire.
By the way, he's going to be a good player. He'll be a top six forward in the league.
He has to be a top six. Yeah.
But let us have our superstar hope, because it's been way too long.
Okay. He'll get 50. I'm putting him down for 50. Rookie year.
He'll go for 50, and Rossi will have 75 assists, just setting him up all day long. Huh,
this will be a great year.
I think Vegas and Colorado and Dallas need to start getting a little concerned after.
Wasn't it Drury and Hayduke that were the co-rookies of the year?
Could happen.
Can we talk about Vegas a little bit? And you know, they got rid of one of my favorite players, former Gopher, who I wish
Vancouver
would sign. Yeah, but here's the thing. Let's take a look at Vegas and their first year, right, guys? They make it to the Stanley Cup. Bunch of guys that have to prove themselves. All of a sudden, they thought, oh, well, if we tweak here, we tweak here. They started getting guys that good players, but had been in the league. They broke up their chemistry. And now they've got two goaltenders that are making together, I think, $13 million. I wonder if they've kind of lost their way, their thinking, because – you know, they've made so many deals, brought in so many guys, and tried to almost create an all-star team. And, you know, they lose in the playoffs. I don't know.
Kevin, I really, really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us on the Thanksgiving Eve.
Thank you for having me. I can't wait to go celebrate Thanksgiving. It's going to be just like the day before and the day before that, just with a turkey. Nothing so I like yet. It. Just with
the big you turkey. Miss me, don't you?
You have no idea. And really, you don't.
He actually doesn't miss you. Saying,
you're not like,
I know. I do. I know. I look forward to when we can all be together again. This has been, I mean, I don't know how it's been for you guys. I assume it's the same, but it's great. Tumultuous the best. The distance learning thing, I've had it. Let's go. Let's get back to what we used to do.
Pat doesn't have young children anymore, so it's been a little easier for him.
Right. Well, I feel like I'm retired. Honestly, I walk around here and I fix my vacuum cleaner. That's how I spend my day. I need something to do.
All right, Kevin. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you at some point. Hopefully soon.
See you, boys. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. And Pat, I did want to mention that because the Gopher football game is not being played on Saturday, you can hear the best of Beyond the Pod Saturday from noon to one. So we had interviews with Marco Rossi, Mike Yeo, and Alex Salock, all three of those will be played from noon to one Saturday on FM 100.3 KFN. So you can listen to those. And also, if you're watching or listening for the first time, or if you didn't catch all of this podcast and you want to watch or listen to this entire podcast or any podcast we've done, just make sure you subscribe to the KFN YouTube channel. You can find them all on the KFN YouTube channel. You can also listen to them on the iHeartRadio app and wherever you get your podcasts. Pat, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Have a great Thanksgiving, Brandon.
Yeah, thank you. He's Pat Micheletti. I'm Brandon Molesky. Beyond the Pod, as always, is brought to you by Culturama and SodaStick. Thank you so much to everyone for watching the entire night. You guys stuck with us for a really long time, and we really appreciate it. And thank you for joining the conversation as well. This has been Beyond the Pod. Have a good night. Happy Thanksgiving.